Evening and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 this evening, and we'll be looking at verses 145 through 147. And don't you love the Word of God? It gives us the answer to all things. And I was reading an article today that scientists are still debating the age-old question: what came first, the chicken or the egg? And they did a study back in 2014, and they did an electron microscope investigation of the eggshell, and that they found out that the proteins that are in the egg could only come from a chicken. But now, through quantum computing and quantum physics, they can find out what really came first, the chicken or the egg. And according to quantum computing, which, if you're not familiar with that, is that things are really not right or wrong or up or down or here or there. They're just everything all at once. Kind of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? And so they decided that, and through this quantum computing, that the egg came first. And it's just amazing that people spend time trying to figure this out, isn't it? And when in Genesis chapter 1, God created, amen, the chicken came first. Amen. Aren't you glad? The Bible, I didn't have to go to college to find that out. I just read the Word of God. And so the Word of God has every answer, and that's why we study it every Wednesday. That's why we preach from it every Sunday school, and also the Bible study tomorrow night. That's why we stick to it, because it has the answer. And man tries to redefine and change the answer. Just because man changes the answer doesn't make man right and the Bible wrong. The Bible's always right. And so tonight we're going to look at Psalm 119. And we're looking at an important part of our Christian life. Every part of the Bible is important to our life, and especially to our Christian life. And I think all of us in here tonight would agree that in order for us to have any success in any endeavor that we do in life, whether it be our job, our school, our home life, or just anything that we do in life, we need to have determination. Because trials come and obstacles come up and difficulties come, we need determination to go forward in our life. And so what does determination mean? It simply means this: making a decision in a particular direction. That's all it means. Now, you make a decision that you're going to get up in the morning. You make a decision that you're going to read your Bible. You make a decision that you're going to do well at your job. You make a decision that you're going to work hard. All of these things are important to us and important to our life. Now, taking that into our spiritual walk with God, you know, we have determinations to make. We have to determine what direction we're going to go in. We have to determine what we're going to eat for breakfast. You know, everything we do has a decision, right? Every decision we make every day, as many we make without even realizing it. You know, we decide what order we're going to do things in. If we're going to take a shower, then brush our teeth. Or if we're going to brush our teeth and then comb our hair. We make determinations all the time. But here we go with our spiritual walk. Are we determined when we come to God? We may be determined in our endeavors in sports. We may be determined in our endeavors in work or at school or at home or a hobby. But are we determined when it comes to our prayer life? Are we determined when it comes to our prayer life? And tonight, we're going to look at the three cries of David. The three cries of David. Remember, Psalm 119 was written by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And every word of God is God-breathed. And tonight we're going to look at verses 145 and at verses 147. He makes three pleas, three cries to God, very simple ones, two words long, each of them. But each of them are so important and are important for us to emulate in our walk with God. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse 145. Psalm 119, verse 145, tonight. And God's Word says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time in your word. Now we will look at these three pleas that David brought before thy throne, dear Lord. And I pray tonight we would learn a great lesson from each one. And that, dear Lord, we would take our time tonight to let this sink in. Oh Lord, do we have determination when it comes to our prayer life. May we determine to cry unto Thee over and over, dear Lord. I pray that You would bless and help tonight. I pray that You would guide us and help us. Instruct us, Lord. I pray that You hide me behind the cross and help me to say exactly what I need to say tonight, and that You would speak to hearts and challenge us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So we have three pleas here, one in each verse. And there's 3 points in the message tonight entitled The Three Cries of David. Now, we see the word cry in verse 145, verse 146, and verse 147. The word cries. I cried. And so when we think of cry, we think of there's two ways to think of it, either that or physically crying and of tears flowing down. And one of the other verses here in this passage, and you go back a little bit, and you come back to what it said, that the tears or rivers running down my face of tears and weeping. And we see many times in David's life, he was crying. But the crying is as to cry aloud, and literally what it means to accost someone, to beg them, to kneel down and to hold them by the feet and to beg, as many did at the feet of Jesus. That is what it means to cry. To cry, that means to accost someone, to repeat over and over and over, to call upon God persistently, hour after hour. Another synonym would be to beseech. When Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you in the strongest way I can't repeat it enough, I'm pleading with you. And this is the cry of David. His plea to God. He is pleading with God. And this is not something that he maybe did at one particular time in his life. It seems to be a habit of his life. And we see his prayer life, and we see the prayers of David at different parts of the Bible. But the first one in verse 145, the first is simply, hear me. Hear me. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep Thy statutes. Here we have the desperate plea of David. A simple plea, a humble plea, a plea simply to be heard. I said, well, I'm sure God would have heard David. David was the man after God's own heart. He was the king of Israel. I'm sure David had a special red telephone in his office that went right up to the throne of heaven. David's special in that he could have any time access to God. Hold on, where in the Bible does it say that? David was just like you and me. In that we all have free access to God. However, we must understand something. That he came before God humbly. David rarely lost the focus of who God was and who he was. Now, if you wanted this idea of cry and to plead, look at Luke 18. Jesus gave a parable. Jesus gave a parable, and this is very important for our message and for the point that we're going over right now. Luke 18 and verse number 1, there is a parable that is given. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse number 8 when we get down to it at the end of the parable. This is important. And verse number 1, God's Word says, Luke 18 verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what's the purpose of this parable? Jesus was teaching men to pray and not to faint, not to give up, not to lack determination in praying before the Lord. David was determined. If you look at all the Old Testament and New Testament saints, they knew, all knew how to do one thing very, very well, and that was pray. And pray faithfully and beseech God. And they pled with God, and God heard them. But why did David have the plea, hear me? We'll get to that in just a moment. Look at verse number 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. It's interesting, he thought that in his heart. And many men do that. So this was a wicked man. He was a wicked judge. But this widow wanted him to do the just thing and take care as if her adversary, an adversary in legal matter or had physically hurt her, we don't know. But that the widow was asking him to do his duty in being just and taking care of this adversary. In verse 15, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? That's a question right there. That's a description of today, that so many people don't have faith in prayer anymore. They aren't faithful in their prayers. They pray one time, well, God didn't answer, that's it, instead of having a time of beseeching the Lord. Will he find faith on the earth? That is definitely a picture of today. Now, David was persistent in his petitions to God. His first plea was to be heard. And this teaches us something. We should never arrogantly come before God. You know, we read many times in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. We're going to turn there in just a moment. Actually, you can go actually to Hebrews 4:16 first. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, turn there. Well, we go over this part. We should never arrogantly enter into God's presence. We take that term boldly, that is mentioned in Hebrews, and we equate that, unfortunately, when we think of someone who is bold, many times we're thinking of someone who is arrogant, who is self-confident, who is overconfident in his own ability. There's a difference between biblical boldness and godly boldness and arrogance. There's a big difference. Boldness in the biblical sense that we see in the book of Acts when they prayed for boldness, and that they were bold in that confidence they had in the gospel, in God's message, and in God himself. But arrogance is confidence in oneself. And when we can come to God, we can come to God like we deserve to be there. Like we deserve to be heard by God and come in our pride. Well, look at what all I've done for God and all I've done for him. I have earned a place in the throne room of heaven. Oh, that's a dangerous thought process. We should never act as if we deserve to be heard. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I had you turn there. I didn't turn there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we're able to come before God because of what? Well, we see two things mentioned right here in verse number 16. That we let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. Now, grace is a very interesting word. Grace means unmerited favor. Grace means that we're given something we do not deserve. Do you know that we have access to God, but we do not deserve it? Amen. We have access to God in prayer, yet we do not deserve to have this access. Another attribute of God is through the grace of God that we may obtain what? Is also the mercy of God that we're able to do that. That we're able to come before him in prayer. That we have access to him. And the only way that we have access to God, if we turn back a couple of books in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, the only way that we have access to God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is only through his sacrifice that we have access to God. Before that, we were alienated from God. We were sinners, dead spiritually. We had no access to God. The only way we have access to the throne room of heaven is through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse number 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, through Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Was there anything that you did there give you access to God? Oh, we didn't do anything to deserve the grace of God. We didn't do anything to deserve the mercy of God. We didn't do anything to deserve Jesus Christ dying and shedding his blood so that we might be reconciled to God. So that should change our attitude of our prayer life. And that David had this attitude. David knew his place and humbly cried unto the Lord for an audience in the heavenly throne room. Now, there are some requirements to be heard. If you look at Hollywood today, and I think Hollywood ruins a lot of things for Christians, because I think we see things and we believe them, but they're not really so. In that, we can come to God And I've never, ever heard this ever preached, I think one time in college, but all growing up, I never heard this. Never heard what I'm about to tell you right now, is that there are requirements to be heard by God. Did you know that? There are requirements to be heard by God. First of all, you need to be one of His children. You need to be saved and genuinely saved. But second, we need to have faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. We must have faith. Hebrews 11, and also look at James chapter 1 and James chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently, notice we have determination here again, diligently seek Him. So we see it in Psalm 119. We see it in Luke 18. Now we see it again in Hebrews 11. Three places, and there's many other places that talk about diligently and faithfully seeking the Lord in prayer. But in order to be heard by God, you must believe that He can hear you, that He can answer your prayer, that He can take care of your situation, that you are going to trust in Him alone, and whatever answer He gives you, you need to have faith in the answer God is going to give you, and you must have faith in your prayer. Look at James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1. Now, we look here in verse number 5, and this is a prayer request. If you lack wisdom and you need knowledge from God, and you need wisdom of which way to turn, and that is a prayer request, and that's a prayer request, by the way, every Christian should pray every day. We all need wisdom every day. Praise God. Amen for that. Praise God. He gives it to us, and that's a prayer request. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, verse 8 is an interesting verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So why did it switch over to that? Because someone that doesn't have their full faith in God has half their faith in something else. You don't have your faith in God. You have your faith in something. We need to have faith in something. Trust in something, whether it's ourselves or whether it's something else or whether it's God. We always have our faith in something. And if you have partial faith in God, you have partial faith in something else, then you're going to be oscillating one between the other. You're going to be double-minded and you're going to be unstable because you seem that you can't trust anything that's going on. Need to have faith in order to be heard by God. Second, look at Psalm 24 in verses 3 and 4. We need to have clean hands. Clean hands. Clean hands. Psalm 24 and verses 3 and 4. And you know what this is here? This is holiness. This is having sin out of our life, being clean before God. 1 John 1:9, right here. We can have clean hands, but we need to come to God to get them clean. In order to be heard by God, we need to be clean. We need to ask forgiveness for our sins. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, right here, verse number 3, this is, some people believe this is talking about when we go to heaven. But we can't work our way to heaven. I believe this is what standing in our prayer life. We stand before God when we pray to Him. And we must have a what? Clean hands and a pure heart. We have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So this is a requirement to be heard by God. And so David is calling out to the Lord, hear me, but he has gotten his life right because you see in verse 119, Psalm 119 in different places, he said, how shall a young man cleanse his way, right? Except through the word of God. And then we see that he was going in the wrong path, but he said his steps are right. He went to the right path. And that brings us to the pure heart. Look at Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8, one of the Beatitudes. Pure hearts. We had a faith, clean hands, and a pure heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Matthew 5 and verse number 8 here. Very quickly, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. They'll see God. They'll be heard by Him. Well, Pastor, what about all those Christian films I watch where people are doing wrong, but they call upon God and God answers their prayer? Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm going to let the Bible do the speaking for me, because that's the best way, isn't it? We need to go to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 12 through 18. Now, this is Isaiah pronouncing judgment upon Israel because they were religious, yet they were not pure. They didn't have clean hands and pure heart when they came before God. Verse number 12, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to read my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So they had sin in their life, and God was not hearing them. But they could come to Him and be cleansed and then be heard. We can have confidence that our prayers are heard. Psalm 66 and verse 18 is a verse we all know very well. Psalm 66, verse 18. But the following verses are important. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think that's pretty direct, pretty clear. Now, verse 17, but verily God hath heard me. Why? Because he doesn't have iniquity in his heart. He has gotten things right with God before he comes to him. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Why? Because David had gotten right. And as a Christian in our prayer life, if we want to see God answer our prayer, if we even want to be heard in the throne room of God, we need to be clean before we go to him. You know, when you come before a king or a queen or a head of state, do you go in your dirty, holy clothes? Right? They're all dirty and torn and greasy and nasty. You know, you should have seen me after I was done working on the front of the van, after getting all the ball joints in there. I was covered in grease, head to toe. My wife, just kind of took the clothes with a stick, put them in the trash. I said, Mom, Bethy, don't even put them in the washer. They're just going to get grease in the inside of the washer. These pants have had it. They're done. Now, would I take that and wear my very best and go appear before Queen Elizabeth in England in my very, very dirty clothes? You know what? I wouldn't even make it in to see her. You know why? Because that's a sign of disrespect. Because when you go to see the queen or the king, you wear your very best to show respect for their office. So when we try to come before God and we come dirty, we are disrespecting the God of heaven. And he will not hear us until we are clean. Many people have told me, but Pastor, I know I'm not doing the right thing, but I know God hears my prayers. No, he doesn't. The Bible says so. Don't fight with me. It's the Bible that says. So that's important to keep our hearts right with God and clean before God. That is important. Now, did hear me? Now, look at verse 146. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Now, what this appears to be here, if you look at the first and the second part of the verse, the onlooker who is not discerning will say, well, it looks like David's making a deal with God. If you save me, I'll do what's right. Actually, you'll notice there is that there's a colon there. That is a separate thought. The Lord, save me, and I'm going to be faithful. Lord, I know you'll save me because you're faithful, so I'm going to be faithful to you. That's what that's talking about. You see that repeated in all three of the verses. This is David's second plea. He knows that he has an audience with the God of heaven. Now he brings a second plea humbly before the Lord. It's not very long. It's not verbose. It is a simple plea of save me. From what? We don't know. But we know he was in a situation. We don't know if it was physical harm or if it was a depressed spirit or if it was a difficulty in his family or a difficulty in the kingdom. We don't know what it was. But look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 30. This is echoed in the New Testament by none other than the Apostle Peter. When Peter was out on the water, the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm, and Jesus, in the midst of the storm, was walking out to them on the water, and Peter said to the Lord, they thought it was a spirit, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out and meet thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter stepped out of the boat. He had faith in Jesus when he stepped out there. But then he took his eyes off Jesus, and he says here in verse number 18, look at Matthew 14, verse number 30, not verse 18, verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But you know what? He had that faith in that prayer. Even though Jesus was a few feet away from him, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. David was just as close because he had the audience of heaven, said, Lord, save me. From what? We don't know. Perhaps Peter knew this psalm from his upbringing. We don't know. He was brought up a Jew. We don't know. All he could muster in his situation was, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. It is safe to assume that God did save David, I would think, from whatever situation he was in. From what, we're not certain, but there are some details to notice about his plea, something we can learn. Do you notice that David did not say how he wanted to be saved? He didn't say, Lord, I want to be saved from this situation. I want this to turn out in this particular way. Right? Oh, we tend to do that. We tend to tell God what to do. Say, Lord, we want this situation to turn out this way. Instead of letting the Lord save you in the way He sees fit. Remember that. Now, just imagine that you're out in the ocean, you're at the pool, and you're drowning. Micah, you're drowning. Okay? So you're out in the middle of the pool. The lifeguard jumps in. And so the lifeguard swims up. He said, Micah, hang on. And you're like, help, help, save me. And then, Micah, are you going to start instructing the lifeguard and how to save you? Are you going to start doing that? No, you're going to say, thank you for saving me. And actually, there are people that for a lifeguard, Pastor Harvey was a lifeguard for many years. And what is the first thing that a lifeguard tells you when they swim up to you? What is it? Exactly. Don't fight me. Just relax. I'm here to save you. Don't fight me. Just let me do it because... And then, but some people say, you need to do this, you need to do this. You know what? I think we're in a position to be quiet because if we knew how to swim, then why are we drowning? Amen? But sometimes we do that with God. And we say, Lord, save me. And He comes to, but we say, wait a minute, but you need to do this for me. Oh, you need to take the obstacle away. Maybe it's a trial. Lord, the trial needs to stop. And maybe you're overwhelmed. You know what? What does Jesus need to save you from? Maybe you think you need to be saved from the situation. Maybe you need to be saved from your being overwhelmed by the situation. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Notice something here. For those that are weary and downtrodden, and you'll notice something when Jesus mentions that all ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So does he say that he's going to take the burden away? No, he's going to help us carry it. See, what we want is we want the burden taken away completely. It's more Jesus gives us the power to overcome it and to help us with it. David knew what the Lord, that the Lord had it all under control. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we get tired in running the race of life. And we say, Lord, I need a break. I need to sit down on the sidelines. I need to rest a while. And you know what God says? I'll give you strength to keep running. Keep going. Oh, but the flesh wants to say, no, I need a rest. I need to sit down. I need to, we are instructing God in how we need to be saved from the situation. Why don't you let God be God? And let God take care of the situation as He sees fit. Because His result is always best. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying for healing from an illness. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says we ought to do it. But there are times that is not God's answer. And we think God has not heard us, but perhaps God has given you the strength to endure through it. We must understand that God's ways are not our ways. His promise is to carry us over it, not just make the difficulty disappear. But then the last we see is verse 147. Verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Why? Because he was crying unto the Lord. He was praying through the night. I hoped in thy word. So we see, hear me, save me. And he says, I hoped. I hoped. This is a David's reaffirmation of his faith in God. His faith wasn't shaken. His faith was still sure. You know why he was calling upon God? Some people have it backwards. You know, they call upon God to get their faith back, but David called upon God because he did have faith in him. Because he knew he could answer. You know why Christians don't pray? They don't believe God will answer them. You know why Christians don't seek God? Because they don't really believe God has an answer for them. But David knew God had an answer for him. God knew he had the power to take care of his situations. He knew he had all power in his hand. And so he called upon him and besought him and cried on him all through the night. And he says, my hope, what does he say here? I hoped in thy word. What does he say in verse 145? I will keep thy statutes. Verse 146, I shall keep thy testimonies. Verse 147, I hoped in thy word. He was going to do what was right no matter what happened. No matter what God answers what, he was still going to do what is right. He was still going to be faithful. He was still going to obey. He was still going to have faith in God. Even if God said, no, you're going to endure this. You're going to suffer loss. It's going to be a bad experience. But he said, God, I still have faith in you. I still trust you. I still love you. Oh, Lord, you're faithful to me. And I will be faithful to you no matter what your answer is. Do you know some Christians put a condition on their faithfulness to God? Oh, if God does all the good things to me, then I'll do what's right. But as soon as God doesn't answer my prayer the way I want, I'm hitting the road. That's the wrong way to view God. It's the wrong way to view your Christian walk. Oh, and this is Christianity today. You want to know what Christianity is today? This is what it is. That God would bless me and do all the things I want done for me and to have eternal life and all of these things and to have an easy life and to be blessed and not have anything bad ever happen to me. And when it does, God doesn't love me. You know what that is? That sounds like a spoiled child. And that's really what it is. And that's exactly what sometimes our children do, right? They think it's mom and dad's responsibility to give them everything they want and to do everything for them. And then when mom and dad don't do what they want, oh, you don't love me. You hate me. I knew you didn't really care about me. And they turn on the waterworks and they start crying. You know what? Some parents give in. Oh, I do love you. I do love you. No, it's God who says, I love you no matter what. But then that person has a decision to make and they walk away from God because they think God is supposed to just do all the good things for them and never let anything bad. Well, God didn't protect me. God didn't save me from this. God didn't let me go through this. Yes, he did. Why? I don't have an answer for you. God is God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Just remember, the sin in this world is not God's fault. The curse is not God's fault. Disease is not God's fault. That's all man's fault. But this we must know. And this is what David did. Even though he didn't understand everything that was going on, even though he didn't see the end from the beginning, even though maybe he had terrible situations in his life, what happened? I hoped in thy word. I will keep thy statutes. I shall keep thy testimonies. Lord, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to love you. Not one amount of my faith has been diminished. Even though maybe I didn't get what I wanted in my flesh, I know in my spirit that's what I needed and what you had for me, and I love you for it. That's the mature Christian. That's the Christian whose prayer life will flourish and grow. That's the prayer life God will bless with answered prayer. God is not a genie. God is not a butler to at our beck and call. God is the master of the universe, and we are His creation, and He loves us and cares for us, and He wishes to provide our every need that we need. Underline the word need. Whenever you look at the word need, that He shall supply your need, underline that, because in America we have a big difference between need and want. We think we need things when we really want them. We really don't need them. You know what we need? Food and water and a roof over our head, right? Shelter, food and clothes. And that's about it. We don't need a vehicle. Now, for some of us who do our jobs, we need one. But in all reality, people do get along without them. We need to be thankful for them, right? No matter how old or beat up or whatever has happened to your vehicle, just be glad you have one. Amen? Most of the world doesn't have one. Most of the world can't afford one. But in America, everybody's got one. Be thankful. Won't you trust God? Won't you trust the Lord as David did? Won't you have faith and plead with God and be clean before Him? You know, many times we view church like this, is that, well, church is a place where I come to get clean. You should be clean before you get here. This is the house of God. You should be clean before you get here. And then the Lord shows you something else. You know, hear why? There's a lot of Christians. They come forward and they come to the altar on Sunday and Wednesday or whenever, and they get things right that they already knew were wrong before they even came. Instead of getting right before they came, and then God showed them something new, and so they could take care of that too. Taught them something. So tonight, how's your prayer life? Pray it's been an encouragement for you tonight. But where is our faith? Do we have faith? Do we have a pure heart? Do we have clean hands? Are we being heard? How many of us have, no need to raise your hand, but all of us have experienced this, but think back in your mind a time when you were praying and it seems like your prayers were just hitting the ceiling. And you know, after studying this, one person was in my office and said, Pastor, it just seems like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. I'm not getting anywhere. I said, because they are. There's something. No, and then instantly, there's nothing in my life. I've prayed and gotten everything right. I said, well, maybe you need to repent of that pride right now. Because that's pride. I've gotten everything right. And kind of reared up, and I've gotten everything right. Well, I know one thing you need to get right. Because our attitude should be, oh Lord, search me and try me. The attitude of David, once again. David had the attitude, search me and try me, purge me with hyssop. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. I've thought of everything I can, but Lord, you show me if there's something that ought not be there. And He will. He will. That should be the desire. Well, I've done everything I need to do. God should hear me. That's pride and arrogance, and the Lord won't hear you with that. And so, well, my prayers are hitting the ceiling, because they are. And sometimes the devil wants you to think they are when they're really not. But many times, well, see, I'm not getting anywhere with God. As Dr. John R. Rice said, to pray it through. Pray it through. Till you get everything right and go through everything and get everything where it needs to be, until you're heard by God, stick with it. One famous preacher said, so most of my prayer time is spent in confession to the Lord before I even get to ask the Lord anything. And by the time I get there, I'm just so thankful that He forgave my sin that I spend my time praising Him. So my life has been so blessed because of that. So I spend the smallest amount of my time is asking God for things. I spend most of my time confessing and then the rest of the time after that praising and thanking Him for all that He is and what He has done and all He has done for all people, for the Word of God. You know, we just need to spend more time praising Him and thanking Him for who He is. And if we can't think of much thing about, we can't think too much about who He is, then we need to study our Bibles a little more to see who He is so that we may praise Him for it. Trust Him. Faith, clean hands, and a pure heart. Is that true of you tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, this evening. I pray that You would be with our invitation time. I thank You, Lord, that we're able to be here tonight. I thank You for Your Word. I pray that it would speak to hearts this evening. We'll give You all the praise and glory. We come before You humbly. We pray that You would speak to hearts, Lord, and that perhaps there's a prayer that needs to be brought before Thee on behalf of someone else. Whatever it may be, dear Lord, I pray that You would bless during this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.